Last time on Thornvale.
You follow and you see a lot of police cars. And these police cars are surrounding a local bank.
Okay, well, I'm going to text our little group chat and be like, something is happening downtown.
Think we should let her do this alone, or?
Probably not.
Well, I'm going to walk up to whoever is closest to me and flash my handy-dandy FBI badge and ask them what's going on.
Someone's holding up the bank. He apparently has a baseball bat wrapped with razor wire. You manage to sneak away from these cops, and they definitely don't notice you. Unfortunately, as soon as you open up the side door, you open it up on top of this big man that's holding the razor wire bat. And you hear someone call from behind you. He says, just come over here. Don't try to be a hero. And he brings that bat down across your face. And you hit the ground and you are seeing stars in an awful way. You get this instant nasty, nasty headache. You're going to come out with me. If they shoot someone, they're going to hit you. You got this. You hold still. You do what I say. Maybe I let you live. And the voice says, be careful, Enigma. This one's got a lot of rage. The man takes his bat and he kind of like lets Sammy go for a second and then just swings it into the back of Sammy's leg.
Ooh.
Henry, you are confronted with this giant semicircle of police and police cars all pointing their guns at this man with a big old bat.
He's aiming for the leg. He's aiming to make this guy fall over.
First off, you don't hit the guy. You hit Sammy. But the cops take this as a chance to shoot. One of them shoots Sammy in the shoulder, and you fall down on the ground, but all of the other shots end up in this man. Henry, they take your gun away from you and you are put into handcuffs.
I'm going to make sure that he gets reprimanded for this. I'm going to, for now, I will take his gun away.
If I see that boy with a gun again, anytime soon, we're going to have a problem. Do you guys know her? Do one of you want to ride with us? So Henry gets into the ambulance and the doors close behind him. Bjorn, you watch Sammy being taken away in an ambulance. Welcome back to Thornvale. I am really looking forward to this week's episode because, oh my gosh, last week's episode, oof, guys.
Was nuts.
Happy for you and horrible for us.
Oh man, it was rough, but I think we're going to get into some heavy role play today, which should be entertaining. But before we start, I do want to mention our Discord. We are on the Podcast Junkie Discord server. We have our own channel there. So if you want to join there, you can find the link in our show notes or pinned at the top of our Twitter page. And I would also like to say if anyone likes the show, if you wouldn't mind going on whatever app you have and giving us a nice review, we'd really appreciate it. Like, seriously, whenever someone sends us a review, we always like send it to each other. We're like, hey, look, somebody sent us a review. We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... yeah, so we get very excited. So if you'd like to give us a review,
too.
It does actually help people to know, like, hey, this is a legit thing that you should actually pay attention to because people like it. So it'd be really helpful. Mm-hmm. All right, and I'm not gonna take up any more time today. I've been noticing that our intros are really long, so I don't want to take up any more time today. I want to go ahead and get started with the story. Last we met, Sammy was going away in an ambulance. Riding on, what, a hit point? Two, maybe?
I don't know.
Certainly, definitely unstable.
I am definitely unstable.
I thought she had just become unstable,
actually,
but it was still pretty damn serious.
Yeah,
pretty darn serious.
I only have four, so like three and one unstable, but we counted out if I didn't have like the armor, I would have gotten like 12 or 13
hit
points.
That's what it
yeah,
was.
You
yeah,
would have
like I would have been
dead,
like
almost
dead.
Twice
yeah.
over. But I believe Henry is in the ambulance riding with
yes.
us.
Yes.
And Bjorn's going to have to find his own way there.
Well, I was just driving there in my
yeah,
own
you're,
car
you're
behind.
Driving there.
Yeah.
So we will pick it up there. As soon as you guys get to the hospital, Sammy is wheeled out of the ambulance and is whisked into the hospital. And we'll leave Sammy there for now. She's going to go get fixed up. And Henry steps out. And what do you do, Henry?
Since they've taken Sammy away, you have to, listeners, you have to understand that Henry is in the midst of such emotional turmoil right now, because on the one hand, and just so everybody knows, I am also mentally kicking myself as the creator of this character, because I will tell you, I have been obsessing over this since last week. For those of you who have heard the episode, you know that I had a secondary weapon that was much quieter than my very loud gun that I could have used,
yeah.
and I didn't. And
yeah.
so not only am I, as the creator of this character, feeling out of it for that, but Henry has also had the disconnect, and he... All his training is apparently to waste, because now... He shot Sammy. Yes. So he is hoping against everything that she will somehow even deign to speak to him after this.
Well, she doesn't know you shot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know she doesn't know. But he's thinking that eventually she'll find out. Someone will tell her. She will know.
So what I'm thinking is that Henry is just standing there staring at the double yeah. doors of the hospital, just sort of like, I don't know what to do.
He's either outside the hospital or I could picture him in the lobby area outside of the intensive care, whatever it is, where he's just sitting there with, you know, he doesn't know what to do. So he's sort of nervously, he breaks out his phone. He's just trying to distract himself, because he knows that if he doesn't, he's going to break down, he's going to punch something, he's going to become angry, he's going to do something.
All right, at this point, I will say that Bjorn arrives and parks his car and comes on in and sees Henry sitting in the waiting area, just fiddling with his phone. What do you do?
Okay. Bjorn looks over and sees Henry, and the first thing he does actually is goes over to the kind of the reception desk area.
Okay.
And speaks, or kind of goes to the person behind the counter, and he just says, "I just followed an ambulance here. I'm just trying to check in on the I don't know if you have any information on the person that they just wheeled in, how they're doing."
And they say which one, because there were two.
Oh yeah, that's right. So then Bjorn says, "The girl."
And the person behind the reception desk looks down at her computer and sort of scrolls through it for a couple of seconds. And she says, "Well, I don't have a lot of information because they just brought her in, but she's going back to have some surgery done, as far as I know."
Okay. I'm a friend, and I just wanted to leave my name just so I can be contacted in case anything happens.
And she takes down your information and says, "Okay, sure, I suppose.
Thanks."
And she points over to the waiting area for you. And she says, we'll notify you when she comes out of surgery so you can see her."
Thank you.
Okay. Now what?
Then Bjorn's going to walk over to Henry. I'm assuming it's a hospital. There's people even not in the waiting area that just work there. So he's going to go to Henry and just kind of look at him and just flick his head towards the car outside. He won't say anything yet.
And Henry, he looks up and sees this, and he's normally he would put up some kind of, "I don't want to go, I don't want to do this," but he realizes, especially after just what went down, he's like, "All right," just internally he's going, "All right, better to get whatever is going to happen over with for both of us, so he just stands and starts to follow.
Okay. So Bjorn gets in the car, in the driver's seat, sitting down. He's just kind of hands on the steering wheel, just kind of staring quietly, not saying anything.
And Henry sits down in the passenger seat, I assume.
Yeah, unless Bjorn's going to let him sit in the front seat, which I doubt.
Well, no, that is the passenger, seat. Oh,
you are correct, and I am incorrect. Thank you. and then Henry just he sort of glances at Bjorn, and he doesn't even know what to say, so he just. Like he lifts both hands to his own face, runs them through his hair, and he's just sitting there trying to figure out what to say, and he can't. Which
and then Bjorn sees him moving, and he just says, "What were you thinking?"
And he turns and looks, and he doesn't even try to, at least initially, he's just like,
And as soon as he starts, like, fumbling for words, Bjorn just, like, turns towards him, rips his glasses off his face, and just stares at him with his blue eyes, and he's just so full of rage. And he just says, "We talked about this, about going in together right before this happened. Both of you did things on your own.
Hey,
what were you thinking?
She got there first, I showed up after, and there was a guy holding her hostage. You expect me to sit on the sidelines and hope he doesn't do anything?"
"Yes, exactly. I mean, secrecy is our first priority, and she's important to me and she's important to you, but we can't let our secret get out. You were almost arrested. What would have happened if you had been taken in by the cops and they found out that you aren't actually an FBI agent? What would have happened?"
Okay. I will give you that. Fine, I will give you that. Take it. But isn't that what magic is for? I mean, there's got to be some way. We could have done something. I was at least doing something. You weren't even there. What was I supposed to do? I'll admit, it was a stupid move. Even though, for what I had, I could have thrown the knife instead of firing the gun. That was my bad. I will admit that, which... take that what you will. I don't do that often. But at least I was doing something. It was horrible. I know. I messed it up. And she's probably going to hate me for the rest of her life if she ever finds out about this. I already feel terrible about it. So I'm not sure what you can do to make it any worse."
"Trust me, I can do a lot to make it worse. That's not the point of this conversation, though. The point of this conversation is that you've got a lot to learn about what it takes to be a Dragon Knight and how we keep ourselves and our people safe. Yes, you're right we can use magic, but we're talking about an entire crowd of people saw you pull a gun out and shoot at that guy. That you can't just make that disappear, or if you do, you need a whole team of Dragon Knights to get that many people to forget what happened well. And as we know, that's not my specialty. So
fine. I would..."
And at this point, Bjorn sees that he's getting frustrated, and he's gonna kind of lean over and put just one hand on his shoulder and say, "I know that you know this, and this is all you're thinking about right now, but you decided to shoot, and you shot Sammy, and that caused the cops to shoot, and some of them to shoot Sammy. And I know that wasn't what your intent was, but that's what happened. And just take it from me, it takes one wrong move to lose people you care about. And that's what I'm trying to tell you right now, is we can't go all off half-cocked without thinking things through. Yes, he was holding her hostage, but I've got a feeling that that girl can take care of herself, even in tense situations like that. I appreciate you acting to save your friend, but we can't just act without thinking first, or it could cost us everything."
And he just sort of sighs and looks at Bjorn, and the expression on his face is one that Bjorn's never really seen before. It's a it's more of an understanding expression, and then he looks at him and he goes, if anything taught me that, it's what happened, and I believe me, I would take it back, and I would do anything I could to take it back. I know I can't, and after everything, and even after what happened with and he just pauses, and looks at his armband, and just like goes, well, anyway, yeah, I think think before before anything else happens, we have to make sure that she's all right, and if anything, and he kind of quirks his mouth at this, he just goes, I think I might need to spend some more time at the range. What do you think?
The only reason why I'm pausing is I'm trying to think about how Bjorn's going to respond to this, if he's going to take the joke or not be in a joking mood right now. I feel like he's not in a joking mood.
Yeah, I feel like
he's just going
to
be
You have to realize...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Henry pulls the joke because right now he knows that if he's doing everything he can to not break down.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. Bjorn's just going to say... Henry says that, and Bjorn just stares at him, and Henry can tell that he's still really angry. But I will say he's still, and obviously the way the conversation goes, he softened a little bit, but he's still angry and not pleased. And he doesn't say anything. He just nods back towards the inside and opens the door and starts getting out.
And I think Henry just follows behind and re-enters the hospital.
Okay.
Does Bjorn go back in the hospital?
Yeah, Bjorn goes back in too. He's going to wait there.
Okay.
On the way back in, though, Bjorn does say, like, to Henry as they're walking in, have we told Stanley or Miguel yet?
No. I can answer that.
I
I know we have. I know we haven't.
No, I didn't. You?
No. I'll handle that. Let's just get in there and be ready for her.
Bjorn, you go sit in the waiting room. You're still pretty hot under the collar, understandably. As soon as you sit down, you close your eyes. Memories start flooding back through you. When you open your eyes, you're sitting in a dingy cinder block building. It's hot where you are right now. There's no AC in this room, and it's probably 120 degrees Fahrenheit outside. Still, the mood in the room is jovial. You sit on the floor in a small circle of men, most of them with their shirts off and all of them holding cards. There are dozens of coins in the middle of the circle. One of the men, a black-haired young man with tan skin, throws down his cards, a full house. A beefy man with a bald head but an auburn beard sighs and says, "Welp, I'm out."
"Oh, come on, Jake."
The man scoops up the coins off the floor. "What's wrong, Gunner? Tired of losing?"
"More like tired of you cheating."
"How?" asks Jake. He holds up both of his naked arms. "Nothing up my sleeves." An African-American man, the only one wearing a shirt, stands up and stretches. "Lay off him, Knudsen. You only lost like 30 cents.
"It's the principle of the thing, Cap."
Your commanding officer rolls his eyes. Suddenly, he freezes. You wonder why for a moment, until you feel the layer of cold descend on top of you. Jake stands up and pulls a handgun from the waistband of his pants. The bald man reaches for his Bowie knife, and you grab your shotgun. You stand up as fog floods the room. Lightning crackles around you. You can feel your scales showing up underneath the illusion that keeps them hidden. Something begins to form in the fog. The shape twists and turns until it coalesces into a large, floating, bare-chested blue man with burning red eyes. The face looks oddly familiar to you. For a moment, all is silent. And then the blue man points at Jake. A lightning bolt explodes from its finger and slams into the young man's body, sending him flying. Your captain turns to you and shoves you towards the door. Go get help! You hesitate for a moment. Go! Your captain shouts. You turn around and run. You squeeze your eyes shut as another lightning bolt explodes above the door as you push through it. When you open your eyes, you're back in the hospital waiting room.
Henry takes his seat again and is just waiting there, and in his head he's just this is like he's had some close brushes before, but he is never like something like this. I mean, he was the one who put the bullet in, so mm-hmm. that's for him, this is a big thing. Yeah. And now he's thinking you know, her life could be changed because of me, and so he's being really reflective now. He's thinking, you know, it's better that he's going over the past of, you know, why he separated himself and everything, how he didn't, and as a result didn't know how to, as an example, work the firearm well enough. And he's basically playing the what if and the if only thing in his head. And he knows it's, you know, his own brain works well enough to know that this is a, you know, it's an absolute trap and he's never going to stop if he keeps going. But right now it's really all he can think of. So Henry's sitting there on his phone and he's been scrolling, messing around, and he comes across his dad's number, and he knows his dad is most probably either still in the hospital or out by now, possibly. But at this point, he's not estranged from his dad, but they haven't talked in a long time, at least since arriving. And his brain is all over the place right now. He's like, I just need to talk to someone, to family, try to sort this out. So he makes the call, and what happens?
So you ring, and the phone rings for a little while, and then eventually a kind of tired voice picks up on the other end.
Real quick, did Henry stay in the hospital, or did he go outside for this call?
He was still in the hospital.
Okay.
I just
didn't know if that was the plan or not. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Kind of tired voice pick up at the other end and says, "Ah, hey, Henry."
Hey, Dad.
You okay?
How?
You sound off.
I know I don't say it much, but, no, I'm not okay.
Oh. and he hears you kind of, like, start to choke up a little bit, and he says, what happened? Is it something with Stanley, or what's going on?
You remember when you said that you were sending me here to stay with him, and nothing was going to happen, right? It was going to be a regular old summer, and I would be coming home, right?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it didn't exactly go that way.
What's going on, Henry?
And there he pauses and says, "Can you tell me about the rift?"
And you hear there's a lot of quietness for a long time, and then he says, "Has Stanley been dragging you into his Dragon Knight stuff?"
Well, you could say that. He wasn't dragging. I mean, Miguel's here too, and you know, they, I've actually been training up a bit, and it, you know, I wanted to be as far away as I could, and now I, well, we were called for a possible case, and it was real, but because of something that I did, there are three of us actually, and because of something I did, I'm in the hospital now.
Are you hurt?
No. Don't. It's okay. I'm fine. But I. One of us was in trouble, and I was there first, and I could have done the smart thing, and I didn't, and she's hurt, and
at this point your dad kind of cuts you off because he knows you're having a hard time, and he says, "Oh, Henry, I'm so sorry. I knew I should have told Stanley that you weren't up to this sort of thing. You're only 15. You shouldn't be going through this kind of thing. Just because he and I were doing this at your age doesn't mean that you should."
Might be true, but I mean, honestly, we've had cases in the past where we've helped people, and you know me, I wanted to be as far away from this as I could get, and that was true, but in that moment when you see the endings and you know that you were able to save someone, to help someone, it's different. It feels...
And your dad kind of says, it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he takes a big, deep breath and he says, "I remember. Do you want me to tell Stanley to leave you alone?"
And Henry just... No. No, I think... I think I might be... I might be starting to understand why you and Mom were always did what you did, and I'll be the first to admit I have a lot to learn, and it's true she she ever finds out, then she might never speak to me again.
Is your friend gonna be okay?
Honestly, I don't know. She's in surgery right now, and I truly hope so, because I...
At this point, as you are talking, someone in scrubs comes up to you and puts her hand on your shoulder and says, are you Henry?"
And he pulls the phone down, covers it, and says, yeah, that's...
You're the one that was with the Sammy. With the Sammy girl, right? The one from the ambulance?
Yeah, that's me.
She's out of surgery now. She's gonna be fine, don't worry. And Sammy, you can take a point of harm off.
1 point.
And the... Yeah, 1 point.
Surgery does 1 point?
We'll say 2 points. That's
yeah, funny. Yeah, and she should be stable too, right?
But she's stable
okay,
now. She was
okay.
Only at
yeah,
four.
I'm at two now.
Yeah, you're at two now. You're still hurt, but the nurse says she's still unconscious for now. She's sleeping, but we've been told that you and the other fellow that came in can come back now and sit in the room until she wakes up.
And you see like 10 years worth of stress fall off his face, and he's just he's like, "Thank you, Thank you so much. And then he puts the phone back up to his ear and goes, hey, Dad, I it turns out she's gonna be all right.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, she's awake. So, I probably need to get in there for no other reason than you can slap me.
Okay,
so,
okay. Before you go, Henry, I just wanted to let you know I'm very proud of you.
He pauses and, like, thanks, Dad. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
So, real quick. The nurse comes over and grabs Bjorn as well and lets him know.
Okay.
That was a sweet moment.
Yeah. All right. Real quick before we go on. I just learned that Henry's mom isn't dead. I thought she was dead.
She's dead.
But he just said she'll never talk to me again.
He's talking about Sammy.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
No, not. Yeah. No, he's not talking to his mom.
I thought he was like, oh, if mom finds out that I'm doing Dragon Knight stuff, she'll never talk to me again.
No, I was a little confused at first, too. I thought he was talking about his mom, and I was like, wait, isn't she dead? But then I realized it was Sammy. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't
It's
realize.
All good. So what are you guys going to do? You guys going to go back there?
Just as another like housekeeping thing, even though it's really, we don't have to role play this, but we'll just assume that Bjorn texted Stanley and Miguel while that all was going down.
Yeah.
I'll also say that Bjorn's ears pricked up when Henry used the word rift in the middle of a hospital waiting room, but after that, nothing happened, so he didn't do anything about it, and it was innocuous enough. But
just one more tick on the
he was like,
Henry's an idiot list.
But then nothing came of it. Like, he was, after that, he was like, not specific enough to, you know, say anything.
Using the word rift is not a...
Exactly, right. I mean, but he started hearing him, like, talk about that stuff, and he was like, what is this boy doing now? But then he was, like, very, like, nonchalant. Like, he used the right words after that, so Bjorn didn't care. He's like, okay, fine, he's just talking to his dad.
Oh, poor Henry.
I'm getting all the bad right now. Actually, no, Sammy's getting
that
the
really
bad,
wasn't,
I think,
like, a
right?
serious, like, tick in Bjorn's head. It's just, like, he was, like, on high alert for don't let the secret get out, and then he hears the word rift, and then he's, like,
triggered,
kind of on alert, and then he's, like, okay, fine, he's not saying anything beyond that, so we're good.
Yeah.
Hello again, Thornvalians. It's your keeper, Susanna, with one small ad for you. As always, if you'd like to skip, the time code is 31 minutes and 10 seconds. Before you go, though, let me tell you about our next Dragon Knights One Shots episode on Twitch. We are hosting, get this, the guys from the Crit Show for a one shot of Monster of the Week. I am unbelievably excited about it. If you want to listen, the episode is at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on October 24th. You can follow us now on twitch.tv/Dragon Knights One Shots. That's Knights with a K. Now, check out this promo from our friends over at Weekend Trip.
Hey there, I'm Brandon Tharp, the Dungeon Master for We Cantrip, a D&D podcast. I'm joined by
Cameron Ford,
Greg Brown,
and Ian France.
Come join the We Cantrip family and listen to one of the fastest growing D&D podcasts based in Northeast Ohio.
We've been streamed in 48 of the 50 states of the United States of America.
With 90 countries.
With over 5,000 downloads.
So come listen to We Cantrip, a D&D podcast, available on any podcast app that you listen to podcasts on. Join our heroes as they venture through the lands of Alterin in Season 1 as they fight the Cult of Vecna. And in Season 2, coming soon, they take on the Silent Ones. We Cantrip, a D&D podcast, available on all podcast platforms.
I now return you to this crazy intense episode. So you guys head back to where Sammy's room is. It's one of those like big rooms that has like a lot of people in it, but there's like a little curtain that's holding her off from everyone else. And there's two little folding chairs that are sitting there. And Sammy is still passed the heck out. She's recovering from surgery. You can see, you know, she doesn't look good. She's got like big deep like bags under her eyes and she doesn't look like happy exactly. But you know, she'll be okay. The doctor lets you know like she'll be fine. She just needs to rest. And you guys are welcome to wait in here. She should be waking up soon. And
okay,
go ahead.
Apologies then. Apologies then. I think in my phone call I said she was already awake.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Anyway, so you guys sit there. It's probably about an hour later. Actually, in the middle of this, Stanley comes in and comes up to Bjorn and is like, What happened? What happened here?
I don't know all the details yet, but Sammy was held hostage by the monster after it held up the bank. At least I'm assuming it was the monster at this point. I haven't had a chance to ask her yet, but it seems pretty coincidental that she gets held up as a hostage at a bank heist. So anyways, I need to talk to her first to really know what happened. But then Henry got there before me and through the course of events, shot Sammy trying to shoot the monster.
And Stanley, like, just like he like shakes his head and goes, "I'm sorry, Henry, what?"
And real quick before we keep going forward, you said this is in a room with multiple beds.
It's like a
right? bed,
like a med bay, right?
I'm assuming you guys are being quiet enough. You don't have to worry.
Okay, okay, we don't have to worry about it. Okay, I was gonna say otherwise. I was gonna tell him like we need to talk about this at the base. But if you think that we can be quiet
enough.
Okay,
nobody's bothering you.
Yeah, he. Well, I'll let you speak about that, Henry.
And before you guys are able to have that conversation, Sammy's eyes start sort of fluttering open and she kind of moves an arm or something. And Sammy, you wake up, you feel like garbage.
I would assume
so. You feel awful. You have a hole in your leg that's been repaired, a hole in your shoulder that's been repaired. I think you got whacked in the back of the other leg.
And in my face,
with
too.
With this guy's... Oh, yeah, and you got hit in the face, like...
And your face.
You've got these, like scratch marks all up the side of your face.
Oh, gosh.
Magic can get rid of that, right?
I hope so.
If anyone wants
or
to.
Or winner for best scars goes to...
That would be
both of your legs
thing.
Hurt, one of your shoulders hurt. I mean, you just feel like crap.
Oh, God. I don't know if she's actually going to say that. I guess she's just going to slowly look around the room. And she's probably confused as to where she's at. Henry? Bjorn? Stanley? Just kind of like... Is totally confused.
Henry turns and sees her. He steps up. He's like, "Yeah, we're all here."
And she's kind of still groggy, but like, she goes like, "Emergency room, right?" Just trying to place where she's at.
Henry's sort of in that awkward moment. He's like, "You're." That's right.
Well, you're actually out of the emergency room, but yes, you were in there for a little bit.
Okay, and so she, like, tries to, like, sit up a little bit, but, like, groans because it hurts too much, and so she doesn't move again. And she asks, how long have I been out?
We don't know how to respond, Suzanne.
Sorry, it's probably been like with you. You sort of passed out in the on the ride there. Mm-hmm. You were already pretty, you know, fuzzy beforehand. It's probably been a good probably like 3 hours
since I got thwacked in the face.
Yeah.
So then Bjorn will just chime in and say, you know, you were in surgery for a couple of hours.
Did you get the guy? He talked to me. He called me in Enigma. And then he had the white eyes.
They got him. They got him.
Well, they got the human that it was possessing. We still have no clue where this thing went. In the aftermath of everything that happened.
Gotcha.
So at this point, Sammy, you hear, all of you hear running footsteps outside of this room, and the doors burst open, and you hear those footsteps run up to where your little curtained off area is and tear the curtain open, and you see Elise.
No, I didn't want her
and
to know.
She looks mad. Like, she looks angry at you, and she runs up to you and she says, "Hey, Sammy, hang on real quick. Sammy, what's your middle name?"
That's a great question. I didn't think about that.
Come up with one real quick.
Sammy. I'm trying to think of something that's like basic white girl.
Does Sammy even have a last name?
Overbrook.
It's Overbrook.
Okay, it just never comes up.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Let's go with Raquel.
Raquel, okay. And she runs up to you and puts both of, and like grips the railing on your hospital bed with both hands, like white knuckled, and says, "Sammy,
wait,
Raquel."
Hold on. Would she say Sammy or Samantha?
Samantha. Is your full name actually Samantha?
Yes, Samantha.
She says, "Samantha Raquel Overbrook, what the ever-loving crap has gotten into you? I was watching the evening news and I saw you got kidnapped at a bank. What were you doing? What happened? Like, somebody shot you. Like, just, Sammy, what?" And at this point, she turns around. She, like, looks up and she realizes the other people standing there. And she's, "Who the hell are these people?"
Are you going to bleep yourself out?
Not for hell.
You don't think so? Okay. Maybe not. Okay, that's a fair point. Okay. Anyways, sorry.
Elise, I'm fine. You know the shop, they pay me in cash. I was making a cash deposit. You think I chose to go at the same moment a crazy man decided to hold up the bank?
Well, I don't know. You chose to go in and attack that priest when he was hitting everyone the other day. I don't know anymore. And at this point, a small old lady comes in behind Elise and leans over and kind of pushes Elise aside a little bit and leans over and says, "Hello, dear. I hear you've had a bad afternoon."
Is it Elise's grandma?
It's her grandma.
Grandma Francesca, okay. Yeah, I mean, you can see for yourself. It's been a little rough. These are the two people
and
that I didn't want to know about,
like,
this.
She kind of like reaches up and like pushes your hair out of your kind of sweaty face. And she says, "I'll take Elise away for now because I think you need to rest." And then she turns around to the other people that are gathered in the room and says, "Why don't we all go let Sammy rest for a little while?"
Thank you, Granny.
And she starts like grabbing people. Like she reaches over and like grabs Bjorn and Henry's arms and just sort of starts leading them out of the room.
So Bjorn's actually gonna like very gently like remove her hand and pull away.
She does not let you.
Okay, then he's
she
gonna just
she digs her old lady claws into your hands and starts just come along now.
Whoa.
Don't disrespect Grandma Francesca.
He's gonna turn and to Sammy on the way out and just say, "We're gonna let you rest, but we will have words about this when we talk later."
And Elise turns around and says, "I don't know who the frick this guy is, but we're gonna have words as well." And everyone follows Grandma Francesca out of your little room, and Sammy, your room is peace and quiet.
Finally.
Behind this curtain for a little while.
Hey, I like Francesca. She knows what it's about.
And she turns, Grandma Francesca turns to the rest of you and says, "Could I get you guys a coffee? It would be my treat." Any friend of Sammy's is a friend of mine.
I think I could use a nice black coffee right now.
And she leads you guys downstairs to the cafeteria.
Yeah, and Henry, I just want to say this because it would be something Henry would do. He looks at he sees the coffee there and he sees the coffee cups. Then he just puts a sort of sidelong look at the pot and then is like, no. And then goes for goes for a cup instead of the pot.
Yeah. So they I think you're going to go down to the cafeteria, and they all bring you guys some coffees, and you guys are all just sitting there. Bjorn, Henry, Stanley, Grandma Francesca, and Elise all at one table.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
This reminds me of that scene from the Red October. Does anyone know which one I'm talking about? The one where they're all gathered in the war room and all the guys start lighting up cigarettes because they don't know.
I was thinking more like the shawarma scene, the end credits after the first Avengers.
Yeah, but much more uncomfortable.
Much more uncomfortable. Yeah. I think it's a good. That's a good one too.
So
though.
At some point, Elise looks up at you guys.
Well,
and
real quick before you get into that, I just have to say that this is like Bjorn's worst nightmare. Like. First there was Oliver, the last monster. Now there's Sammy's friends and family. And, like, he is meeting too many people that he does not want to know he exists.
So at some point, Elise kind of looks up at you guys and says, so how do you guys know Sammy?
Ooh, boy. How do we want to spin this?
Bjorn's actually going to speak up first, and Bjorn's going to say, oh gosh, I almost just wanted to be like, we're business associates, but
Elise is going to think you're in the mob.
They're going to think
so he's just going to say, well, we're friends of hers.
Yeah, but I thought I knew all of Sammy's friends. Where did you guys meet? How did you get here before I did?
And the silence is just going on and on.
Yeah, Bjorn's not saying anything. He's got nothing for that.
2 hours and, later.
Henry sort of clears his throat and he was like, "Oh, I was on my way to a restaurant. I was meeting someone, and then I passed the bank, and I saw her there, and then everything just happened so fast with the police and the guy and everything. It was crazy."
And she stares into her coffee for a second and says, "Yeah, that was... I saw it on the news. That was really scary to watch. I can't believe those cops just shot Sammy."
Mm-hmm. And Henry is looking literally everywhere but at her.
Oh, man, those cops. Oh, darn.
I can't believe those cops shot her.
Not her.
How careless.
And he's not... He's... And then he's just like, and then just sits there, as still like he's turned to a statue. He's not saying anything.
So as you guys are sort of having this really, really uncomfortable conversation, Bjorn, out of the corner of your eye, you see someone come into the room.
Oh, I kind of give it a, I kind of turn my head so I can see whoever it is a bit better.
And it is Captain Holland. And she kind of gives you a little wave and kind of gestures for you to come over there.
Oh my gosh.
Bjorn's going to get up and he's not even going to say anything. He's just going to walk away. Like, he could say, oh, I have to go to the bathroom or something like that, but he's just going to get up and walk away.
Okay.
Let me just say that as he's doing that, Henry has noticed Holland as well, and... He looks at Bjorn with the most sympathetic look he has ever given him, because he knows that Bjorn is going to have to deal with the sheriff.
Uh-huh.
And as much as he doesn't like the guy right now, he realizes that he, at least in part, or a very large part actually, is responsible for this. So he's just sitting there like, saying everything he can't say with his eyes, going, you know I would help you if I can, but I can't.
So Bjorn gets up and I guess leaves Henry with Elise and Grandma Francesca.
He does note the sympathetic look, though, and he's able to at least read that Henry feels remorseful and bad for the situation he's put Bjorn in.
And Bjorn, you see Captain Holland dip back behind the door as you go by, and on the other side of the door, she is waiting for you there out of eyeshot of anyone. It's kind of an empty hallway area.
Okay.
And she says, how's your friend?
She's doing well. She's actually awake. We talked with her briefly and gave her some time to rest, but looks like she's going to be all right.
That's good. That's good. The reason I'm here is there was another incident while you guys were out.
And Bjorn,
it has all of the markings of being the same. And she searches for a word for a second and she says, problem. Infection, whatever's been causing this for the other people in town. Let me just tell you, there was a teenager, a good kid by all estimations, that suddenly just started beating on a middle schooler in the middle of the beach, and he had to be taken away and arrested. And he claims he has no memory. He claims that something made him do it, and he doesn't remember what that was. More than that, I'm glad your friend is okay, but the other guy, he's not so okay. I just talked to the doctors because I wanted to interview him, but they say he probably doesn't have long. So I wanted to come grab you here. I took a guess that you'd be somewhere, and I wanted to know if you wanted to come interview him before, well, you know.
So that whole conversation was just like a bunch of sighs for Bjorn. Like when she first said there's another incident, he just kind of like sighed, and then hearing all that, how it just kept compounding, he's just like, yeah, I definitely need to talk to that man before I can't.
And she says, all right, he's right down the hall. And he has a room of his own, and he's hooked up to a bunch of different machines. He's got the heart rate monitor going, and he is looking very bad. And there's a doctor that's sort of writing something on a clipboard as you guys come in and says, hello, Captain. Hello. What's your name?
You don't need my name.
And the guy kind of like stares at you and he says, and Holland says, it's okay. He's with me. And the guy goes, all right. And he says, if you're going to interview him, I'd go quickly. He has a lot of internal bleeding we couldn't fix, and he doesn't have long. He's conscious now, I think. And he kind of glances down at the guy, and he says, I'll leave you to it. All right, so what do you do?
Are you going to make me roll anything for this, or just roll it out? Okay. So Bjorn's just going to be like, first off, what's the last thing you remember?
Sir? And so you come up to this guy, and he looks terrible. Like, he is full of holes, honestly. And he says, I was going to take my son to his baseball game.
You can't do this to me, Susanna. No, you can't.
And then he says, and that's the last thing I remember. And then I woke up here. They tell me I was going to rob a bank. I wouldn't rob a bank.
And Bjorn is now furious internally because of this monster and what it's doing to people. And this just like really eats him up, that an innocent man just trying to, you know, go watch his son play baseball got turned into what he got turned into. So at first he's just really angry and can't say anything. And then he kind of looks over at Holland and decides that he's going to have to deal with the consequences of what he's about to say later. And he's going to say, I know that it wasn't you. I can't tell you how, but I know that it wasn't your fault. I just want you to know that before it's too late. That.
And the man reaches over and grabs your hand where it's resting on the edge of his hospital bed. And his grasp is like really weak. And he says, thank you.
I run
a community center. I care about people. I wouldn't hurt people.
I understand, and I'm gonna clear your name in this before this is done. I'm gonna make sure that people know that this wasn't your fault or anybody else's fault. But I know you can't remember. Maybe you can't remember anything, but is there anything that you can tell me about the last thing you remember, if you noticed anything? What's the first thing that you remember after you lost time, so to speak? Just any details.
He coughs for a second, and it's this really, like, really thick, like, rasping cough. And he says, I don't remember anything. I went back in to grab my son's bat. And that's the last thing I remember. And the captain kind of glances at you and kind of like a get on with it sort of way, like this guy doesn't have.
And then Bjorn has a thought. He has two thoughts. He says, can you trust me, Sheriff, and give me just a moment with him alone?
And she stares at you for a second, and then she looks down at him and just kind of decides, well, I can't really argue about this. So she goes, yeah, all right, go ahead. And then she walks out the door and closes the door.
Bjorn's going to roll to use magic.
Ooh.
He's going to attempt to heal the guy so he's got more time and maybe even save the guy.
Yes! Roll use magic.
Oh my gosh.
And I might seriously regret this decision later, but hopefully not.
Come on, Bjorn.
Redeem some part of this horrible mission.
Oh no.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Well, crap.
You're going to kill him faster.
I mean, we get 7 luck points. I could use one. By the way, I rolled a 5 total.
Yeah.
Just so everybody
knows.
Yeah,
you rolled a 5.
That's a 5. I mean,
you've
you could.
You've used 2 luck points so far, right?
I know. Yeah, I really don't want to use a 3rd one already, though. I really wanted this so bad, though. You know, this is your fault, Susanna. Telling me that he was going to his son's baseball game and he works at a community center and you're
wow.
pulling at my heartstrings and it's not fair.
Still have to applaud the application
can
of...
Can I get one free redo?
No.
No, you cannot get redos.
Okay.
No.
Hey, I'm not even the GM and I'm saying he doesn't get a redo. I didn't get a redo when
keeper. On a miss, you lose control of the magic, and this never ends well.
Yeah.
You might just help him along his way.
Well, that's if I don't do anything. I still haven't decided if I'm burning a luck point or not. I really don't think I want to. Basically, Bjorn's thought was, I really want to save this guy, and if it doesn't work, he's dying anyways. And the problem was I was kind of gambling, because I could have asked maybe one or two more questions, but if I just outright kill him, then I'm not going to get any more information, but... I don't think I want to... man. I want to save this guy so bad!
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Maybe it's metagaming a bit much, but I'm not going to use the luck point.
So you put your hands on this guy's chest, and your hands light up with this yellow energy. And as soon as... You're just like... I gotta imagine you're just really distracted from everything that's happened today. You're just like, I just want to save this one guy. Just let me have this one thing. But as soon as you let go of the magic, you know it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pump this guy full of magic and he kind of
He kind of like grunts as it enters into his body. For just a few seconds, he looks up at you, and he looks better for just a few seconds. What do you do?
I can't believe you just gave me that. Not like gave, like you gave me a little bit. I
You're testing your life.
I love you so much, Susanna.
What do you do?
Wow. I'm sorry. I just have to say I can't believe you gave me this gift. anyways, I'm just going to say, were there any emotions that you can think of tied to picking up the bat or the moment you picked up the bat? Can you think of anything else that happened emotion-wise?
He seems really confused, and he looked like he feels better for some reason. And he says,
no, I was just looking forward to my son's game. I don't know what would have caused this.
Do you have any enemies? Somebody that would wish harm on you?
And he says, I caught this boy, Marcus. I kicked him out of the community center for selling drugs. There's a developer who wants to knock down the center to build a condo.
Real quick, before he keeps going on, was Marcus the name of the kid that we got, or was it not the name of the kid we got?
Did anyone write down the names?
No.
Henry wrote down.
No,
them.
I believe.
I thought.
No, I wrote. I wrote them, and I believe Marcus was. He was the one that egged the. He was the one that egged the church, wasn't he?
Okay, I'll just tell you guys. The names you got were Kim Sharp, Ben Lasky, and Chris Heimler.
Okay, so I don't hear a name. Okay. He's sped off to do any of these three names ring a bell, and then I list those three names.
Can I finish what I was saying before?
Sorry. Yeah, finish what you're
saying. Okay, I'm going to finish what I was saying before. And he says, I can't imagine that they would go to this length. And then he kind of thinks for a second, and he says, there was another boy. And then he shakes his head. He says, it's probably not him.
I need all the details you can give, even if you don't think it's anything. Who is this other boy?
And he says,
It was my fault. I noticed, but I didn't do anything. He was being hurt by his foster father.
Who?
Hackett. His foster father's name was Hackett. Guy Hackett. He used to come to the community center, the boy, all the time. He was gonna be a basketball star. It's my fault.
And then he kind of like turns away. And when he turns back to you, he has some like tears in his eyes, and he says,
I noticed the bruises, but I didn't do anything. I should have said something, and anyone should have said something. And then that damn man broke that boy's arm. He shattered it with a bat. He ruined his chance at a scholarship. I should have done something. I should have done anything.
And then his eyes go really wide, and Bjorn, you start hearing that heart monitor go wild.
Mm-hmm.
Beep, 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 beep. And this man reaches out and grabs your arm, and he says, Ben Lasky, if it's him, you have to get to him. You have to get to Ben before he gets to Hackett. You have to get to him before he hurts him. And then you hear a loud beep, and the grip releases your arm.
Oof. We just take a moment to breathe after yeah. that. Wow.
And I think that's where we're going to have to leave it for this week.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It was Egg Boy. It was the Egg Boy.
It was the Egg Boy.
It was the Egg Boy.
It was the Egg Boy.